Hello, and welcome to the History of the Early Church, Episode 48, Reading Suggestions. In this episode, I'm going to discuss some of the resources I've used in doing my research for the podcast. Please note that this is only a selection, and the full listing of the sources I've used can be found on the Books and Articles tab at historyoftheearlychurch.wordpress.com. I hope you find this episode helpful and are encouraged to seek out these sources and read them for yourself. To start things off, I'm going to discuss some websites. There are quite a number of websites you can find online for information on early Christianity, and these are some of the ones I've found most helpful. First up is ccel.org, which stands for Christian Classics Ethereal Library. This site hosts hundreds of public domain texts and reference works in HTML for all periods of Christian history, including English translations of the early church fathers. This particular translation series I will discuss more about in a bit. CCEL is an easy way to get a hold of a lot of early Christian texts. They also publish many of these items in excellent ebook format for those of you like me who like to use e-readers. Next is Tertullian.org. As you have guessed, this website is all about Tertullian of Carthage, breaking down his works, and contains detailed bibliographies on each volume. This site is run by Dr. Roger Pierce, a professional scholar of early Christianity who has done much work in making English translations available of early Christian literature. This site also hosts numerous public domain translations online of other early Christian literature, many of which are otherwise hard to find. If you like this site, I recommend following the links to Dr. Pierce's blog and other sites dedicated to the study of antiquity. The final website I want to recommend is actually the online journal article database, JSTOR. If you are fortunate enough to have access to a JSTOR subscription, then I heartily recommend using it. I've found key scholarly articles and reviews which have helped inform the episodes with greater accuracy than otherwise would have been possible. Moving on from websites, we now dive into print and ebook material. First, I want to discuss primary sources. Where can you find English translations of the primary sources for the history we've been covering in this podcast? The most widely accessible translation series for early Christian literature is the Ante-Nicene, Nicene, and Post-Nicene Fathers series. This is a late Victorian era American translation series which was done by Protestant churchmen in the late 19th century. It is usually listed under the name of Philip Schaff, the chief editor of the series. Interestingly enough, this translation series was actually an American pirated version of a translation series done in the UK under the publisher T&T Clark. The American publishers reproduced the translations without legal permission. The work is public domain and so technically free to access. Cosimo Classics sells the volumes in paperback. However, if you want to go the ebook route, then definitely get the versions published by CCEL. There are a lot of independent online publishers who sell these translations in poor quality ebooks. In contrast, CCEL's editions are well indexed and linked. A few notes about this translation. It is naturally quite dated, so both the scholarship of the notations and the texts used are not always in step with more current scholarship. The translators were also far more partial when it came to their religious convictions than we would expect from more recent scholarship today. As such, debates over early church history between Protestants and Roman Catholics frequently creep into the notes, as can be seen in the volume on Cyprian of Carthage, discussing the variants in his work on the unity of the Catholic Church, which we discussed during the narrative. Nevertheless, the translations themselves are still worth reading and are by far the easiest way to access much of early Christian literature. Moving on to more modern translation series, there are quite a few, most of which are still turning out new volumes, which often contain works never before translated into English. For series dedicated specifically to early Christian works, we have the following. The Ancient Christian Writers series by Paulus Press is quite excellent, and each volume is heavily annotated with lots of good notes and commentary. Their four volumes of all of Cyprian's letters, for instance, were of enormous help to me when doing the episodes on the Bishop of Carthage. Fathers of the Church Patristic series by the Catholic University of America Press is another good modern translation series, although lighter on the notes and commentary. Popular Patristics by St. Vladimir Seminary Press consists of nice small volumes designed to make the writings of the Church Fathers more accessible to the everyday reader. Nevertheless, these volumes contain a decent amount of notes along with first-rate translations by prominent scholars in the field. InterVarsity Press has a series called Ancient Christian Texts, which specializes in publishing translations of biblical exegetical works by the early Church Fathers, particularly biblical commentaries, many of which have not been previously available in English. The Society for the Promotion of Christian Knowledge, or SPCK Press, has a wide-ranging series of source books called The Library of Christian Classics. For our period, they have a handful of volumes with selected translations from writings of different groups of church fathers, such as the Alexandrians and the early Latin fathers. If you wish to go full-blown academic, there is the Oxford Early Christian Text series by Oxford University Press, which aims to produce critical editions of the original language texts, along with full translations and notations. Finally, there is the Early Church Fathers series by Routledge Press. This is actually a really cool book series. Basically, what it does is each volume focuses on a particular church father. The first half of the book includes a discussion of their biography, theology, and writings, while the second half consists of selections of new translations of their work. All the volumes are recent and up-to-date, done by some of the best scholars in the field. I've used the volumes on Irenaeus, Tertullian, and Origen in the series, and look forward to continuing to use this series in the future. So, if you want to learn more about a particular early Christian writer, there is no better place to start than here. Aside from these specifically Christian series, there are volumes of early Christian literature in more wide-ranging series, such as the Loeb Classical Library by Harvard Press, Penguin Classics by Penguin, and the Translated Texts for Historians series by the University of Liverpool. The last of these is an especially excellent series by scholars of late antiquity, with fresh translations of often previously untranslated texts, and containing large amounts of notes, commentary, timelines, maps, and much more. In addition to book series, there are a number of source books for the early church. These are anthologies of selections from our sources for early Christianity. The best general one I've found is A New Eusebius, Documents Illustrating Church History, 2-337, edited by William H.C. Friend and J. Stevenson. The source representation in this volume is quite excellent, with decent notes as well. If you just want to dip your toe into the historical sources for the early church, then I recommend this volume. A specific source book I've used is Robert Grant's Second Century Christianity, a collection of fragments. This small, focused book was of great help to me in doing my research in the second century, including on the Jewish Mother Church in Judea, Gnosticism, the Apologists, and Martyrs. To close out our discussion of primary sources, I want to discuss the first church history by Eusebius of Caesarea. Eusebius's work is essential to any study of the period and is one of the best ways to learn more about the early church. Despite the issues we discussed at the end of the narrative concerning Eusebius's shortcomings as a historian, there is still no substitute for this classic work. Reading Eusebius inspired me to start this podcast. The translation I read is the one by G.A. Williamson in the Penguin Classics series. This version also has a nice Who's Who in Eusebius in the back by Andrew Lauf to help the reader keep track of all the different persons the Bishop of Caesarea mentions in his narrative. A translation of the church history can also be found in the Nicene and Post-Nicene Fathers, Series 2, Volume 1, as well as the Fathers of the Church Patristic Series mentioned above, and the Loeb Classical Library. SPCK Press also has a very accurate translation by Loyler and Olton with a complete commentary. This version is difficult to find, however, as it's out of print, though you may be able to find copies online. There is also a translation by Paul Meyer. This is more of a coffee table version of the church history, and Meyer adjusts and abridges Eusebius' words at times to make the reading more smooth. Finally, the University of California Press has just released a brand new translation by Jeremy M. Schott, which includes plenty of introductory material on each book, along with annotations to the text. Whatever translation you read, I cannot recommend enough that you read Eusebius. We now shift our focus to secondary sources. The scholarly literature on the history of the early church is exceedingly vast. Hence, the titles named here are by no means an exhaustive list, but instead are just a selection of those works I've found to be the most helpful. In the realm of general histories of the early church, there are several suitable volumes you can read. The Early Church by Henry Chadwick is a classic which has been around for a long time. Robert Grant, another fine historian of early Christianity, has a volume called Augustus to Constantine, The Rise and Triumph of Christianity in the Roman Empire, which has quite excellent coverage, especially of the 3rd century, and does an excellent job at relating ancient Roman history to early Christian history. Another prominent modern historian of the early church was the late William H.C. Friend, who wrote a very large volume called The Rise of Christianity. Friend's work is a rare example of a large format modern narrative history. However, Friend does have a somewhat irritating tendency to overstate his conclusions and isn't particularly nuanced or cautious with the evidence. Still, books like his are hard to find. The first volume of the Cambridge History of Christianity series, Origins to Constantine, is also a nice survey work with chapters written by different contributors. In the realm of reference books and dictionaries, I have found a good number of volumes quite helpful as starting points for my research, or when I want some quick, reliable background on a particular topic. Everett Ferguson has edited a single-volume Encyclopedia of Early Christianity, which is mercifully affordable in paperback. For a guide to the sources, Johannes Kosten's Patrology is a classic. This four-volume series is dedicated to listing every early Christian writer in Greek and Latin, detailing all their writings, providing summaries, and containing bibliographies listing where you can find English translations. Kosten's work is a bit dated now, but this series is still invaluable and receives my highest recommendation. Having discussed general histories, surveys, and reference works, let's switch to more specific topics. The Bible is, of course, a central element to the early church, and we've discussed numerous aspects of it in our First Three Centuries series. The best and most comprehensive book on the canon that I've found is Lee Martin McDonald's The Biblical Canon, Its Origin, Transmission, and Authority. This treats both the Old and New Testaments, and contains some of the canon lists that survive from the early church fathers. McDonald has also edited another book with James A. Saunders called The Canon Debate, which dives deeper into specific issues of scholarly discussion about the canon. One of my favorite books in doing my biblical research was Invitation to the Septuagint by Karen Jobes and Moises Silva, which offers an excellent introduction to the Septuagint, which, as you all know, was the Old Testament for the early Greek-speaking church. This book provided me with some excellent information on Origen and Lucian's biblical scholarship with regards to the text. Speaking of the text, there are a number of works out there on textual criticism. For the New Testament, I've mainly used The Text of the New Testament, Its Transmission, Corruption, and Restoration by Bruce Metzger and Bart Ehrman. Switching from the Bible to doctrine and theology, there are two books which I believe any serious student of the early church must own. The Christian Tradition, Volume 1, The Emergence of the Catholic Tradition, 100-600, by Yaroslav Pelikan, and Early Christian Doctrines, 5th edition, by J.N.D. Kelly. There really is no replacement for Pelikan and Kelly. These titles also received my highest recommendation. One more title I'll add here is The Way to Nicaea by John Baer. This is a more focused book which deals mainly with Greek Christian authors in the 2nd and 3rd centuries. This book was extremely helpful in the episodes on Hippolytus of Rome, Paul of Samosata, and all the complex theological controversies associated with both of those men. Of course, one of the most important narrative threads in our story is martyrdom and the persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire. William H.C. Friend has a large volume on this called Martyrdom and Persecution in the Early Church. Again, Friend isn't the most nuanced writer, but his book is valuable as a modern narrative history. A scholar whose work I've used a lot is Timothy Barnes, who has two titles I recommend here. The first is a journal article called Legislation Against Christians, which demonstrates the real legal basis for the persecution of Christians prior to Decius. The other work is a highly technical book that deals with a lot of different topics, early Christian hagiography and Roman history. The sections in this book which deal with the persecutions do an excellent job at breaking down which martyrdom accounts are reliable, as well as understanding the general history of the persecutions. Barnes' discussion on Gallienus' legalization of Christianity in 260 was especially enlightening to me when doing my research on the period. The final book I recommend in this category is The Christians as the Romans Saw Them by Robert Louis Wilkin. I really can't recommend this work enough. What Wilkin does is survey the attitude of pagan writers like Tacitus, Pliny, Galen, Celsus, and others who criticized early Christianity. Wilkin deliberately writes the main body chapters from a viewpoint sympathetic to the pagan authors. This really helped me understand their perspective and why educated pagans believed it was just and right for the Roman state to put Christians to death just for being Christian. Another fascinating insight of Wilkins is how much of a role Christianity's relationship to Judaism played in pagan critiques. If you want to see the rise of Christianity through the lens of those pagans who opposed it, this is the book for you. In the course of the narrative, certain regions have played critical roles in our episodes, from Alexandria to Carthage. There are good books available which cover the history of Christianity in specific regions. For Egypt and Alexandria, two books I've used are Early Egyptian Christianity, From Its Origins to 451 CE by C. Wilfred Griggs, and the more recent, The Early Coptic Papacy, The Egyptian Church and Its Leadership in Late Antiquity by Stephen J. Davis. The former discusses Egyptian Christianity in general, both Orthodox and heretical, while the latter focuses particularly on the leaders of the Church of Alexandria. Both were useful in composing the episodes on Clement, Origen, and Dionysius the Great. Bernard Green has a volume entitled Christianity in Ancient Rome, the First Three Centuries, which focuses exclusively on ancient Christianity in the city of Rome. This book was particularly helpful when it came to the Christian archaeological remains in the city, which are rather unique when compared to the paucity of archaeological evidence in other regions of the Mediterranean. Another recent work is Christianity in Roman Africa, The Development of Its Practices and Beliefs, edited by J. Patout Burns Jr. and Robin M. Jensen. Though short on narrative history, this volume is highly detailed on early Christian life in Roman Africa from the time of Tertullian onward. It was particularly helpful in understanding ritual practices in Carthage during Cyprian's day and the baptismal controversy. Finally, I'd like to recommend The Martyred Church, A History of the Church of the East by David Wilmshurst. This is the best modern history of the Church of the East I've been able to find in English and was actually recommended to me by Dr. Sebastian Brock, the world's leading scholar on Syriac Christian studies. So if you want to learn more about ancient Christianity in the Persian Empire and beyond, this is an excellent place to start. The last handful of books I want to mention are focused on more specialized topics. Jewish Believers in Jesus, The Early Centuries, edited by Oscar Scarsone, is a large, comprehensive volume with multiple contributors all about early Jewish Christians. This work was especially helpful early on in our coverage of James and the Jerusalem Church, as well as Jewish Christian sects like the Ebionites and Nazarenes. This work also alerted me to the fact that not all later Jewish Christians were separatist. Some, like Bishop Melito of Sardis, were full members of the Great Church and did not break away to form their own sects. Another work by Robert Grant is Greek Apologists of the Second Century. This book helped me navigate the second century apologists like Justin and Tatian, who wrote under the Five Good Emperors, when accurate knowledge of Christianity in Greco-Roman society was still rare, and the religion had no social respectability. Also helpful for the second century episodes was Berger Pearson's book, Ancient Gnosticism, Traditions and Literature. Gnosticism has been of great interest lately, both in academic and popular circles. If you want a readable, comprehensive, but still sober and non-sensationalist treatment of the religions of secret knowledge, then look no further than Pearson. He does an excellent job synthesizing patristic and Gnostic sources together, laying out the different Gnostic groups and systems, as well as an accessible chapter on Manichaeism. Finally, we were introduced to early Christian monasticism in our coverage of Antony of Egypt's early ascetic career. William Harmless's volume, Desert Christians, An Introduction to the Literature of Early Monasticism, is a superb introduction to the world of the Christian desert. Harmless writes in a way which intrigues you, the reader, and invites you to discover more, while also providing annotated guides to translations of primary sources. His discussion of the differences and similarities between the life of Antony and Antony's own letters was extremely helpful, and I will doubtless be using this book more often as the narrative continues. With that, we'll end this episode. I hope you find these reading suggestions beneficial to your own study of the early church. Next episode, we will finally end our First Three Centuries series with the long-awaited Q&A episode, where I will answer all your remaining questions which haven't been addressed yet in the series or emails. As always, thank you for listening. Remember, you can email me at historyoftheearlychurch@gmail.com. Please don't forget to leave a review on iTunes or whatever podcast platform you use, or post a comment on the Facebook page, facebook.com/earlychurchpodcast, and don't forget to visit the website at historyoftheearlychurch.wordpress.com.